We are live backstage in the bowels of the Sprint Center, Lars's favorite place to play in Kansas City. We've established that much. Is this like the second show of the tour? Third show of the tour?
Well, it depends how you count them.
The hell does that mean? There's only one way to count.
Well, it's the third show of the U.S. indoor tour that started in Phoenix on Tuesday. I mean, we've been on the road since May, doing European stuff, mostly festivals and a lot of promotion gigs. And we also played Ozfest in August down in Dallas and stuff. So, like I said, you know, it depends. You know, if the indoor U.S. tour kicked off in Phoenix on Tuesday, we were in Albuquerque on Thursday, and here we are, our favorite place to play, as you well know. And
you're sipping Perrier.
Yes, I am.
Very rock star.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, by the way, your machine is in full effect right now. You guys have, MTV2 is swinging from your nuts big time this weekend with, like, you know, clips from the interviews that you guys did, the press clippings, and then, like, VH1 is doing stuff. How do you guys...
So I'm not turning my back to you. I just want to say that I like to sit sideways.
So you can see. Are you one of those people that needs to see the room? Is this bad touch or something like that?
You need to see the room. Well, you know, Kansas City, you know, back in the day was people would enter the room with guns, you know.
How do you know that? You're not American. I mean, you are now.
Well, I certainly pay American taxes, that I can tell you. Anyway, where were we?
Meanwhile, we were back with Lars. The machine, man. How do you guys roll that thing out? I mean, I don't mean to bring the N-word up, but there was way back when the Napster thing was happening. Oh. Yeah, you gave me that look like the dog that just heard a funny noise. When the Napster thing was happening, you said, when it comes time, Metallica will give everybody everything on a multimedia level when we have control of all this stuff. And now you're not only doing that visually, but now your website and all that stuff. People tonight are going to get a live version of this show. They're going to be able to download a version of this show.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm chewing a cough drop. I'm making unnecessary noise. No, you just listen. The internet is your friend, has always been your friend, and it's just about, really, it's about communicating with the fans and giving as much of the, without sounding cheesy about it, but I mean, giving as much of the Metallic experience as you can. I think the ultimate souvenir, you can buy a t-shirt, you can buy a program, but, you know, taking the show home with you that you just went to, I mean, that's a pretty awesome thing. And
is there a screening process, though? Like, what if the show goes bad? You know, all of a sudden that one's not available for download?
Well, let's put it this way. They all go bad. So it's just we figured that out about, you know, the third gig or something 5-6 years ago when we implemented this. So it, I mean, that's fun in games. It's you laugh at those things. And the thing is that, you know, listen, it's such a small world now, you know, and so it kind of keeps you on your toes, to be honest with you, because it, you know, I write a different set list every night. I still haven't played the same set twice since we started that 5 years ago. And so every night you play a different set, you realize that you're in some perverse way not just playing to Kansas City, our favorite place to play, but to a worldwide audience. And it definitely...
So you're like the Grateful Dead, only cooler.
Like the Grateful Dead, except not as old. Very close. But, I mean, people definitely started talking about the Grateful Dead back in the day, and we certainly kind of mirrored our kind of whole HQ place on there. They have a place 2 exits up the freeway from where we are that's like the headquarters. And so we've been trying a little bit. Well, not trying, but people have been comparing the Metallica experience to the Grateful Dead. You know, we got hundreds of kids that travel to so many of the shows that you sort of have to change the set list, just if not for any on a worldwide audience, just for them. You know what I mean?
You were also one of the first bands that allowed taping at your shows, like an actual taping section.
Yeah. On the Black Album tour, there was a whole section where you could bring recording equipment, just like where you're sitting here, and take the show home with you. I mean, that was the first installment in that whole thing. But now we actually just bought a new piece of equipment that we rolled out in Phoenix, which pretty much, I'm going to say pretty much, because there's always things that can happen, but the show should be up within 3 to 6 hours after we get off stage up on the internet. And with the previous equipment, we had to send the tapes back to Northern California to be mixed, so it would be a day or two. But now the show should be up, you know, within, you know, by the time you wake up the next morning.
So you're basically, your sound guy at the board is mixing the show live for an actual album?
There's a different guy. I mean, there's a guy who just does that, who basically, as we're playing, kind of mixes it And then the reason it takes 3 to 6 hours is to upload it. It's not the actual mixing of it, it's uploading it, you know. So they actually mix it as it's going down. So every night it's kind of like a live album.
Which is cool too.
It sort of takes the whole notion of cool live albums out the window, but it kind of gives you, you know, every show's available, so it's cool.
What song could you spend the rest of your career never having to play again? Speaking of never, you know, you say you haven't done the same set list in 5 years back to back. What song are you done with?
Metallica song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? For me, it would be Turn the Page. No offense intended.
Please. Thankfully, that's not a Metallica song.
No, I know. You know what? The Metallica I know would have beat up the band that did Turn the Page.
Probably. That's a good question.
This is the point of the interview where it went wrong.
Silence.
Uncomfortable silence.
No, I'm stuck on this Jane's Addiction song I heard on the radio yesterday. The one that has the kind of annoying backup vocals. That's like...
I call it all of them?
Okay. You said that, not me.
Oh, now you're shy. Now you're not going to take a shot at someone. Suddenly the new and improved nice guy Lars. Yeah, today is a new Lars. It's such a new vibe in the band.
What Metallica song? I don't know, man. Saint Anger, probably. I never have to play that again. That was just a car wreck to begin with, that song. We've been playing Frantic here and there, which is fun to play. And there's a couple other songs on Saint Anger that could be fun if we could figure them out. But Saint Anger, the song itself, well, it wasn't fun to play.
And which one still feels good every night?
Which
is the one that, you know, the one that you dig playing?
I always love playing Sad But True, even though we don't play it every night. I love playing Sanitarium. I love playing the songs that I play different every night. Excuse me, sitting on a plastic table. Like the songs where there's like a lot of room to kind of maneuver around and do different stuff. Sanitarium, Fade to Black, like I said, Sad But True, Harvester of Sorrow is always fun because those are the ones where you start it and then you hope you all end together at the same time, but in between it can sort of go wherever you want it to go, at least in terms of the drums. You know, there's a lot of room to move around on the drums.
You guys more comfortable now letting songs breathe? I know that before there was a lot of rigidity and you guys would, you know, sort of...
Yeah, I think so. I think to a degree. I think that we're simply just better players, more comfortable, and we work better with each other, and it's not as rigid as you were saying. I think that at some point... That rigid element, you know, you just gotta stop taking it so seriously. Do you know what I mean? And I think that certainly by changing up the set lists every night has helped with that a little bit, because some of the transitions, as we call them, the going from one song to another, they can get a little loose, if you know what I mean. People can't remember if we're supposed to play this ending or that ending, and it kind of makes it more fun. Back in the day of when I think back on the late 90s and the load tours and all that stuff, it was like military precision. And whenever anybody screwed up, it was like, you know, 20 push-ups in the corner type of thing. And now everybody screws up every night because that's what we just do, because we play different songs every night. And we play songs we haven't played. All of a sudden, like, I said, let's play this song. We haven't played it for 3 months and we can't remember the ending or whatever. And there's some sort of beauty in that I think at least the fans that see us a lot, the human element that people sort of get off on.
25 years ago, you guys put out your first CD, Kill 'Em All, not counting the demos and all that stuff before you signed to Megaforce. 20 years ago, you got screwed out of the first Metal Grammy, and now in April of 2009, you guys are eligible for induction in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How retarded is that?
I don't know.
You're going to be in the same with, like, you know, Little Walter and Madonna and Kumo D and all those guys.
They're probably all applying to see if they can get out of there. Here comes Metallica.
So here's a question. If that happens, how many ex-members get to step on stage that were part of the Metallica history?
It's a great question. That has not been floated yet. I think that...
I think only one probably, you know, that's been... Jason would probably be the guy. I mean...
Well, Jason's the only ex-member that's recorded with us.
Sure.
That's still around. I mean, obviously, it'd be great to have Cliff's dad there.
Sure.
Who I believe is you know, I think his sister, Connie's still around also. But Cliff lost his Cliff's mom passed on a few years ago, and his brother passed on. So obviously having Cliff's relatives there.
Sure.
And then Jason. I mean, to me, there's nobody else that's played on any of our records. So
have you guys buried any animosity that might have been there since back then with Jason?
There was no animosity, really. I saw him at a System of a Down show. He doesn't come out much. He's a little bit of a hermit. So it's not like, hey, there's Jason. I've seen him once. I saw him at System of a Down in Mars Volta a couple, 2-3 years ago. It was great to see him. I wish I'd see him more often. But he lives way out in the valley. And he's got some issues with his neck and his back and so on. And he doesn't really play, from what I hear. And he's not real kind of a social kind of dude that's out hanging a lot.
You guys any concerns you're not going to make it? Or you think you're in this rock? Do you care if you even get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Does that matter? Does that give you any sort of validation from all these people that might have slagged you in the early days and then sort of jumped off the bandwagon?
Listen, if I say I don't care, I don't want to be perceived as so aloof that, you know, it all of it means nothing. I can't tell you that it's something that keeps me up at night, or it's like, God, it's been one unbelievable thing after another the last 3 or 6 months, especially considering I think always having one foot in kind of what happened 5 years ago with a near death experience of the band, you know. So I think that all the accolades and all the stuff that have happened in the last few months, it's also mind-blowing, and without sounding completely cheesy, it's been a lot, and it's really cool. So if this thing doesn't happen, it's not going to make a major difference in how the success of Death Magnetic or the sort of perception of Metallica at the moment, you know. It's because you got to remember, you always got to have one foot in who you're dealing with here. And most of the people, you know, listen, Rush is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Deep Purple is not in there. Iron Maiden's not in there. So it's not like all these other bands that, you know, there certainly is a, and I'm probably not helping the Metallica cause here, but there certainly is, you know, one could argue some inconsistencies in this. You know, to me, if Black Sabbath and Deep Purple, if Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Deep Purple should be too, because to me they were part of the influential trio of bands that are responsible for all of us being here. But so be it. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, but I would love to. We were there for Black Sabbath 2 years ago, and if nothing else, it was a fun night out, that I can tell you. And I would love to go to Cleveland in April and be part of that whole thing.
A lot of people look at an induction in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as the end of something, you know, something that happens at the end of your career. You guys aren't done yet, so.
It's a great point.
So that's good. I don't want you in. If that means it's the end.
Thank you.
Snub Metallica until they're done.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Lars, thank you for taking time out again.
Nice
second
to talk
time
to you again.
In 24 hours.
So we're going to talk again tomorrow in Des Moines?
You know what?
So we can make it three in a row?
You got room on the bus? I got no place to be.
Okay.
All right, you guys go on. You're going to be in the tuning room. I think you're going to go and hum out a tune pretty soon.
So. We got to get in there. Well, we go into the tuning room and sort of tune up the old tired limbs here and try and take one run through the songs that we haven't played for, you know. You got any suggestions for the set list? I still haven't written it.
God, I've always loved The Thing That Should Not Be.
Okay.
I think Stone Cold Crazy, it's a quick one.
Yeah, we played Stone Cold Crazy in Albuquerque the day before yesterday.
So What always goes over good with the moms.
We played that in Phoenix.
I think that one goes over real good with the moms. Afraid Ends of Sanity.
We've never played that live.
What's the problem, Lars? You
okay,
need to get that done.
We're going to roll that out for you tonight.
All right, excellent. We're downstairs at the Sprint. We got to wrap things up so we can get this on the air before you guys go on stage.
Sure. It's good seeing you again, Paul.
Thanks, Lars.